Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it, Old School on a Wednesday. Glad you're along for the ride for the next few hours or so. Austin Norman with you, Jay Foreman getting his beauty rest or something like that over a bye week. That chuckle you hear belongs to Nick Sainer. Nick, welcome to Old School.
Austin, it's always a pleasure, my friend. I look forward to this every time we get to do a show together, and I always thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, you are always more than welcome. We know you're busy doing all sorts of fun stuff. Well, no.
Jay's anti-Nick. No, I'm just kidding. Jay is, hopefully, I can't say he's pro-Nick either, but he's just somewhere neutral in the middle.
Eric is anti-Nick.
Eric is
can't wait
very,
to hear from Eric.
Very anti-Nick. I think Eric's at a point, though, to where he's forced himself into this bit of he's so anti-Nick that now he's becoming pro-Nick. It's part of his life.
Or
just to talk to me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he looks forward to it every time.
Through the text line.
Yes. Nice little parasocial relationship. We love him. Exactly. We have a Cash Blitz keyword for you.
Ooh.
Right now. Top of the 3 o'clock hour, every day here for the rest of the week. Your number to text, 508-777-1000. Again, 508-777-1000, or head to theticketfm.com and click on Cash Blitz to enter. Today's keyword. Win. Al Davis said it best. Just win, baby. Win. W-I-N. Remember, every keyword that you enter is another chance to win. One lucky listener will take home $1,000 tomorrow around noon. Do not wait. Get keyword win. W-I-N. Texted to 508-777-1000 now. All right, on with the rest of the show. The show, of course, being Old School, brought to you by a Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredient Butcher Shop with 3 Lincoln locations and 1 in Omaha. Did not get to this yesterday. Was going to save it for Jay to break down. But like I said, these former athletes coming off their big weekend, 95 championship reunion, feeling overworked, need their beauty rest, what have you. So Jay will miss out on his chance to talk about Mike Gundy getting the boot from Oklahoma State. A lot went into this, Nick. Obviously, a pretty quick downfall for the Cowpokes, who played for a Big 12 championship and won a Fiesta Bowl in 2021. Played for college football appearance in 2023 after a 10-2 regular season. Lost on the last snap of the game to Baylor, falling just short of a touchdown. And then 3-9 last year, including 0-9 in conference play, and a 1-2 start to this season, including first time losing to Tulsa at home in Stillwater for the first time since like the 1950s. Mm-hmm. Initial reports out of Stillwater was that Mike Gundy was going to get the chance to coach through the remainder of the 2025 season. He said essentially, nope, if you're going to fire me, just get me out of here. So the end of an era in Stillwater. Gundy had been the head coach beginning with the 2005 season, made 18 consecutive bowl games before last year. The only two losing seasons he had in Stilly, his first year, and then his last full year. Just, I guess, your initial reaction to how everything went down with Mike Gundy's firing.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are going to sit there and say that he should have been given the rest of the year. I think, though, if you are a big fan of Oklahoma State football, you have to understand you can't bring emotion into these decisions as an athletic director, right? That's when ADs start to have their jobs start to get on the line, is when they start to really, really introduce emotion into their day-to-day business world, right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by this is, if Mike Gundy was a Deshaun Foster, nobody really questions, right? Like, obviously, you're going to have the small conglomerate of people that say, oh, he should have been given the entire season just to give him a fair shake, right? But ultimately, in this day and age of college football, you need to make decisions swiftly. You need to be certain, right? You don't want to sit here, because what if, I mean, let's just play a hypothetical game here. What if the athletic director, Chad Weiberg for Oklahoma State, woke up Monday or Tuesday yesterday and said, okay, you know what? I want to fire. I think it's time to move on from Mike Gundy, but we're going to do it at the end of the year. And then Mike Gundy wins a game against the top 25 team. And then he strings along another victory. And then he looks bad again. And Oklahoma State finishes 4-8, 5-7, right? Mm-hmm. Which doesn't seem really like a realistic possibility to this point of the season.
But they're there on the cusp.
But they're there on the cusp. You can talk yourself into it.
Oh, they lost their quarterback to a broken foot.
And then you introduce the conversation and the piece of it to where, if you're the athletic director saying, well, it is Mike Gundy. He's one of the stable pieces of Oklahoma State history over the last 20 years, mm-hmm. for anything, right? Maybe we give him one more year. Maybe we put in stipulations of what he has to do. No, you talk yourself in circles, and then you start to become less confident in your initial gut feeling. You have to just make the decision swiftly. And on top of it all, there's proven track record to where there's been success for other programs when they are early jobs open, mm-hmm. right? And everybody knows that they're available. Mm-hmm. And in this transfer portal era, NIL era, you can start bringing in donations and say, hey, there's going to be rejuvenated excitement and interest from players, from fans into this program. Support now, and let's start a new era.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And for Oklahoma State, I think specifically, what a missed opportunity these last couple years to really become a power player in the new look Big 12. And with Gundy, you gave him that opportunity after last year. Mm-hmm. Restructured the contract and the money, said you got to invest in your staff. We're going to spread some money around. You'll take a little bit of a haircut on your salary. So they tried that.
Yeah.
They tried to give him one more chance, and it just didn't work out. On top of some other stuff going on behind the scenes, you mentioned Chad Weiberg. As of yesterday, people were still wondering about his contract status.
Yeah.
Under the impression that he was working without one. Turns out he did sign a 3 or 4 year deal relatively quietly that had never been announced or was in the process of getting signed. So there's that. Oklahoma State's president just a couple of years ago resigned before some pretty major financial misconduct findings came out. That is a university in turmoil right now. And sometimes, you know, you look to your football coach, your flagship program, with no disrespect to Oklahoma State baseball, consistent, you know, regional team and regional host. That's not enough for that university to plant its flag on. Mm-hmm. Not when your biggest rival abandoned you for the SEC in Oklahoma. This is the situation where Oklahoma State needed Mike Gundy and the football program to be good, to pull some eyeballs in positively. Pull some negative attention off of the university as a whole, but it's everything hitting the fan at the exact wrong time for Oklahoma State. Ben echoes what you said on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line. Also, in this day and age, you got to get a jump on the head coaching search and worry about the transfer portal. That can lead us into this here, Nick. Mm-hmm. Just how desirable a job is Oklahoma State? We already have 4 openings just in the Power 4. Oklahoma State as of yesterday or Monday. Virginia Tech, UCLA, and Stanford. We know Frank Reich is just the 1 year kind of calm the waters type of hire.
A bridge guy.
Exactly, bridge guy. Of those 4 jobs, where do you put Oklahoma State?
I actually think it's probably the most attractive. I Stanford is tough because I don't know what an ACC job, where that lines up on the list of you know, interested jobs. I think that also when you look at NIL investment potential, I think Oklahoma State's near the top, because even years after T. Boone Pickens passes away, he still gives money to the university,
yeah.
right? They're mm-hmm. still feeding off of it. Mm-hmm. I also think the Big 12, out of all those conferences of jobs open, the ACC, the Big 12, and the Big 10, obviously, the Big 12 is one of them that you can come in and kind of stake their claim. The Big 12 is wide open, mm-hmm. and it feels like it's wide open year after year after year. I don't know if we truly realize also in this how bad it's been at Oklahoma State the last 2 years. Yeah. You look at their 2024 schedule, they started out 3-0, and the very same Tulsa team that they lost to last weekend, they beat 45-10 last year on the road at Tulsa. Mm-hmm. Then they ended up losing the next 9 games in their conference slate. Their closest loss was at BYU, 38-35, and that was with a fifth-year quarterback in Bowman, and one of the best college running backs that finished in the top 7 Heisman voting in 2023, and Ollie Gordon.
And I think you brought back at least 4 offensive line starters yes. from that unit.
Yes, and I'm sitting there. I remember watching Oklahoma State last year and wondering where the drop-off was in Ollie Gordon, especially mm-hmm. because this was a guy that had almost 1,800 yards rushing yeah. in 2023, mm-hmm. and he comes back and has less than 1,000. And he could have went to the pros
yeah.
after 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at everything that frankly Mike Gundy put Oklahoma State through, a 9 game losing streak, and then you start out in 2025, fine, you win against UT Martin, but then an absolute embarrassing performance, Power 4 versus Power 4 against Oregon, losing 69-3, and then just an indescribable loss to Tulsa at home. It is not surprising, and I think it's warranted that they fired him when they did.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets paid, what is it, $10 million on the buyout?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's fine. I always do wonder, though, as a kind of just on the sidebar, like, what do you do today? Like, if you're Mike Gundy, what are you doing today? Yeah, I mean, you've been for the last however many seasons, since I think 89, he's been a part of Oklahoma State for all of them but 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do now? Like, you don't go to the office.
No. I mean, do you want to go golfing? People are going to recognize you.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, just sit at home and, you know, drink something brown.
Like, this isn't like, I mean, okay, hypothetically, let's speak about Scott Frost. This isn't like Scott after, you know, however many years, 5 years. Like, this is mm-hmm. decades and decades of Mike Gundy having his fingerprint across this program. I'm sure it's been a bizarre day for him, but I'm sure it's been an even crazier day for everybody in that building.
One of my buddies that I talk to pretty consistently lives down in Kansas City from there and is a big Oklahoma State guy, mm-hmm. big Oklahoma State family. He's going through it, understandably so, because it's not the way you ever want a tenure to end with an alumni.
Yeah.
And it's different, too, between what went down with Mike Gundy and what went down with Pat Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not the same situation. Both ended poorly for very different reasons. But think about this, Nick. Stuart Mandel tweeted this and wrote it then in his mailbag. Oklahoma State, when Mike Gundy took over, had really 2 good coaches. Jimmy Johnson was there for 3 years before he left for Miami and won a title. And then you had Les Miles, who was solid at Oklahoma State, not overwhelmingly good. But in the 4 years, Les Miles was there 4-7, 8-5, 9-4, 7-5. That's really good for Oklahoma State history. School's all-time winning percentage in football, 465 when Gundy walked in the door.
Mm-hmm.
He won 65% of his games.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that Oklahoma State is not a traditional power, not a blue blood. It's a probably B-minus tier job in terms of college football mm-hmm. history. You can point back to Barry Sanders and the Whedon-Blackman run if you want to.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're not working with much. The thing about Oklahoma State is it's always seemed like a job with such potential. You had a great rivalry to hang your hat on to get fans excited every year with Oklahoma. That's out the window. T. Boone Pickens money, oil money, easy access to Texas talent. And that hasn't dried up. The money is still there, but how can they, are they putting it to use? Are they really using it? That's kind of up in the air and up for debate. I don't think it's a bad job by any means. I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it a sleeping giant, but I've certainly been underwhelmed by Oklahoma State over the last handful of years. If they had gotten over the hump in 21 or gotten over the hump in 2023, maybe we're talking about something different. But at the same time, maybe we're not. Let's keep it in orange. Does Clemson have the same decision to make? Are we to that point with Dabo Swinney? Does it have to take another year? because you can't let emotion come into it. I mean, he won the first title since Danny Ford and then won another one 2 years later. But you can tell recruiting is not the same. Have the mercenary hire of Garrett Riley that clearly has not paid the dividends he wants it to do. If you're Clemson, I don't think Dabo gets the boot in season, but is that a guy that you're trying to shuffle off to the side with a cushy athletic department gig? Like, what is Clemson
doing? I don't think you can. I mean, we're talking, Dabo is maybe the better question. Do you consider Dabo a top 10 coach in college football?
Not coaching like it right now. I mean,
but I'm saying from the standpoint, like even the last 5 years, right? Because you can't take like the list of top mm-hmm. five coaches or top 10 coaches can't change year to year, in my opinion. Like it body of work does matter.
It plays into
when making these decisions. Because like I think the way that Mike Gundy operated these last couple of seasons certainly played a factor into, do you feel like it's going in the right direction? And I think the answer is no. Here's the other part about Gundy also. Oklahoma State, and I, as I've been doing research on the Cowboys, they brought in 41 transfers.
Woo.
They have 41 transfers from this last offseason on their roster. That speaks and smells of desperation and of a coaching staff that identified the roster and looked at it and said, you know what? We need help in a lot of places. And we need it fast. And it's, you know, 3 games into the season, you're not going to get the fruits of the labor.
And obviously those numbers are going to tick up at every program across the country. Mm-hmm. But did you see Kirk Ferentz doing that? You didn't, right? Yeah. Yes, Kirk Ferentz, longest tenured FBS coach right now, didn't hit the panic button, despite, you know, not winning the double-digit games consistently. Gundy did. I wonder how much of that was him. I wonder how much of that was the administration. But Oklahoma State had never been that flashy school, right? Yeah, they had the flashy offenses under Dana Holgorsen, who I would not be shocked if he at least gets a call, gauging his interest to return to Stillwater. I won't say anything more on that until anything else potentially breaks. But my point is, like, Oklahoma State's never been a hotbed for talent.
No.
Oklahoma's always been the flashy one. It's been, you know, blue-collar, hardworking Oklahoma State, who, yes, had the T. Boone Pickens oil money. That was kind of the exception that proved the rule. They've always been that developmental program. Find the under-the-radar guys and get them to be the best they can be. Not saying you can't do that in the transfer portal day and age, but I think Nebraska's running into some of those same challenges in some ways.
I think you're right, and I'll also put on the caveat, that was 41 additional transfers in addition to the 22 high school guys that they signed.
So 63.
Yeah, you're talking
half
about
your roster.
Yeah, 63 new bodies on your roster in 2025. Because I can hear the caveat now. Well, don't sign as many high school guys. You're going to add more transfers. No. This is a complete roster overhaul from the get-go. Yeah, you're right. Oklahoma's the flashy one. And I think this is coming also. The decision could have come on the heels of Oklahoma appearing to start turning it around, too.
Yeah.
I think that...
Which news on that front? John Mateer, broken hand.
Yeah.
Oof.
And they're getting ready to play some very important moment or opponents. Mm-hmm. John Mateer, sidebar, made a business-like decision to take the hand surgery now. Yeah. He basically said, I have pro aspirations, and it looks like I could be a professional quarterback. And so, look, I care about Oklahoma, but I got to put my individual career first.
Well, and I think that's best for whatever legacy he's able to build at Oklahoma, too. Because if you get the surgery now, and, I mean, Curtis Rourke had the thumb issue that he played through toward the end of last year, sat out a couple games for, but was still bothering him. I think it's the best decision for Oklahoma, too, though. Because would you rather have a 60 to 70% John Mateer? Or would you rather have 0% of him for now and then get back to 90, 95% of him by the end of the year? It sounds like he's going to be back. You know, he hits hand surgery. There's obviously going to be a long road ahead of him. But as much as it was a business decision and a, you know, future-oriented decision, I also think it's what's best for Oklahoma. Rather than putting your guy through the mud, oh, why isn't he playing well? Oh, no, he's fine. He can play through it. When clearly he can't. We know football is a warrior culture sort of game where guys are going to want to play through it. Mm-hmm. But I think this is better for everyone to save the speculation and the wondering. It boosts your guys' narrative, too.
Here's what's crazy. So I'm continuing to kind of dive deep into Oklahoma State recruiting roster numbers and stuff. I did not realize it's as bad. We talk about Nebraska's inability to grab in-state talent. Oklahoma has better high school football talent, and it's a deeper pool than what the state of Nebraska has. There's a couple of more schools to fight with, right? Whether it's Tulsa or, you know, and Oklahoma is obviously big brother in that state. And so the point's not necessarily, you know, it's not directly comparable to the state of Nebraska. But Austin, in 2023, the class of 2023, Oklahoma State comes off the successful season, mm-hmm. and their highest, they signed the eighth best player in the state of Oklahoma in that state. The top eight in this order went to Michigan State, Oklahoma, A&M, Arkansas, Alabama, Colorado, Oklahoma State. That was in 2023.
You cannot get beat out by Michigan State, by Arkansas, by Colorado.
Then after Oklahoma State's guy, an eighth ranked eighth, it went Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, North Carolina, Oklahoma before, and then Houston, Ohio, then Oklahoma State again. How about in 2024? Ugh. Let's see if it gets a little bit better. Out of the state of Oklahoma, OSU was able to sign their highest rated recruit, was 14th in the state. The top 13 players went to Oregon, Vandy, the next three to Oklahoma, Iowa State, Oklahoma, Tulsa, TCU, Tulsa, Washington State, Oklahoma State. That is the rankings now they're not, obviously it's not perfect and you can't go off of rankings, but the inability to recruit the state, right? And that was on the heels also of Oklahoma not having a couple of years to start out with right. Brent Venables.
When they had to make the argument, hey, Oklahoma's not going to play at home that much. Mom and dad won't be able
to see it. And so, you're in the wide open Big 12. Mm-hmm. It just something these last couple of seasons was not right with Mike Gundy. And it's unfortunate to see from the emotional standpoint, from the emotional mm-hmm. perspective. Yeah, because you would like to give him, hey, this is my last ride. If he would have come out, you could have come out this week on Monday and said, look, you know, I think it's time for me to go out. This is going to be my last season. I'm going to enjoy it while I'm here. But and we'd all know, okay, probably behind closed doors, they're trying to usher him out, right? Mm-hmm. So from an emotional perspective, we'd love that. We'd love that opportunity. But from a strictly business perspective, the athletic director and the administration cannot wait. They cannot wait. And you know that this was a one-sided decision mm-hmm. because of the way that Mike Gundy talked on Monday. He comes out and says, I'm going to be here until they tell me I can't be or until I decide not to be. And I think I'm here. I got 3 years left on my contract. And then the next day, bam, guillotine, chopping block. You're done.
See ya. Thanks for everything and thanks for nothing at the same time. Which leads us, I think, to this to wrap up the segment. Is Gundy done coaching? Does he have another job in him? Because I can see a world in which Mike Gundy takes the $10 million, retires, they bring him back in 10 years as a, hey, thanks, sorry it ended so poorly, but you know, now that the program is back on stable footing, we can, you know, recognize and appreciate what it is you did. I would not be surprised if Mike Gundy's not done coaching, mm-hmm. but that's a guy that's going to be best in the American Conference, Sun Belt Conference, probably at this point. I don't think he gets another power job. But then the Oklahoma State aspect of this, where do they go? G.J. Kinney in North mm-hmm. Texas, potentially, but they're moving to the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Eric Morris at North Texas has been around. Do they want the hotshot up-and-comer? Do they want the quote-unquote retread? Do they want to give a coordinator the shot? I mean, Ben Arbuckle, his name has been thrown around. Zach Robinson is an alum with the Atlanta Falcons.
Doesn't it feel – so I think there's one option. I think there's one choice, and I think it's Colin Klein, at the A&M coordinator. Just because I think he fits the Big 12 really well, just because from his offensive skill set, mm-hmm. the only way that Colin Klein doesn't take it is if Kansas State opens up, which I don't think Chris Kleiman's done. I don't think
Kleiman's got a couple.
Kleiman's right? fine. I think there's no question about that, unless things dramatically fall off the tracks, and then you can point to, okay, well, you ushered Will Howard out, you brought in Avery Johnson, you crowned him as the next quarterback, so you see what happens. I think it's Colin Klein. Here is what I would also say about Ben Arbuckle. Doesn't it feel like his move to Oklahoma now has kind of looked like made him look like a better candidate?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I don't know if Oklahoma State has the pull to grab the next best coordinator or the next best group of five coach to power four move.
Do they have a better chance than Virginia Tech? Do they have a better chance than UCLA?
I think UCLA is the worst job available.
UCLA or Stanford?
Stanford. It's 3C, 3B.
Right. But then you have to think about what other jobs could potentially open up. And is anybody waiting for Billy Napier to be gone? You know, because that to me is the other major domino.
Yeah. And that's where I wonder. Okay, so we mentioned Clemson. Mm-hmm. Like, where would Clemson go? Man. Like that's I know that's like the very cliche question that we all ask, mm-hmm. and most of the time it's just to provide engagement and be like, hey, so where would Nebraska go? And you could go through a hypothetical list of 1,000 names that would actually probably want the job in Nebraska, but then also Nebraska would be able to get, mm-hmm. like Clemson. Are you gonna do the? That's essentially their Alabama version of Nick Saban retiring or moving on from Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and is anything going to feel like, okay, you know what? We're with this hire, we're stepping in the right direction. Because you can't go get Nick Saban.
No.
Like, let's say LSU wins the title. You feel good about stealing Brian Kelly from LSU, which is not going to happen. Like, no.
LSU's ponying up to keep him around if he wins the title.
And so, like, you're not going to be able to sway Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame. Like, you're not going to be these top coaches. You're not taking Dan Lanning from Oregon and moving him to
Clemson, South Carolina
to coach in the ACC.
No.
So that's where it's like, once again, you can swing the big stick and say, oh, well, we're Clemson. We have higher expectations. The standard's higher. We compete for championships. Well, that's great, but you're not going to do it with an established championship winning coach.
My perspective on this was irrevocably swayed by the Kentucky and North Carolina and Villanova coaching searches.
Oh, certainly.
You know, like Duke had its succession plan with Shire. Seems like Hubert Davis was pretty much always the plan for North Carolina. But Jay Wright made Villanova into a really good job. Running the top of the Big mm-hmm. East, private school, resources, basketball focused.
Yeah.
Didn't get anything out of it. But then Kentucky. I mean, that's a top four job in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might be a top four job in all of college athletics, without a doubt. UConn's a really good program. I mean, six banners speak for themselves. But for Dan Hurley to not leave Storrs, Connecticut for Lexington, for Scott Drew. Now, I know there's a lot going on with Scott Drew, what he was able to do to build Baylor back up after everything that he walked mm-hmm. into. But for him to not leave Waco, Texas, for basketball royalty, has forever just changed the lens through which I view these big school coaching searches. It's not as easy as, we're this name, we have money, mm-hmm. you coach us now.
And I do wonder how much conference affiliation plays a part into these conversations, right? Like somebody on the text line brought up Lincoln Riley, right? You knew that the Oklahoma was going to transition to the SEC. At the time when he took USC, you were unaware that USC was going to join the Big 12. Who knows mm-hmm. if Lincoln Riley, or Big 10, who knows if Lincoln Riley was made aware of that? I also, is Oklahoma viewed on the same playing field as Clemson and Alabama's and USC's in terms of jobs? I don't think so.
Not in the SEC.
No, certainly not in the SEC. But then going as we bring this conversation full circle and almost get to break here, that's where I think Oklahoma State is attractive
mm-hmm.
because you have a blueprint, especially if it works this year with Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You have a blueprint. So you're in a wide open conference, and all you got to do is make the 12 team, probably 16 team playoff coming up in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
That's your goal.
Yeah.
And if you're in the playing field, you're there. It's mm-hmm. a hell of a lot easier to make the playing field in the Big 12 conference that's wide open. It feels like year after year. Maybe there's a top team in there every single season, but in terms of like two teams or three teams, mm-hmm. if you're going to have automatic qualifiers, you have to be top four in the conference year after year. If Texas Tech's strategy works, which to this point it has,
mm-hmm.
there you go. NIL investment, a new coach that provides rejuvenized energy. And I think Oklahoma State is the best job for out of the four that are open right now.
Let's jump off on that when we get back to Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in segment two, Old School, here on a Wednesday. Still much to get to in the coaching ranks in the world of college football. Let's go ahead and put this to rest. We have a texter, 1171, who said, did you really just use Dabo and Saban in a comparison? What is in the water there today? The two should never, ever be compared or uttered in the same sentence. Saban is the greatest college coach of all time.
If you go back and listen, I did not say, first off, yes, I did use Dabo and Saban in a comparison, but not on a national scale. I use them in reference and comparison to what they mean at their respective school and program. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban is one of the best and greatest college football coaches there ever was. Mm-hmm. Dabo Sweeney is not. However, Dabo Sweeney is the greatest coach to ever coach at Clemson.
Yes.
So, In conversation, yes, I did use them as what they mean to their respective program.
Let me one up you. I'll take the heat
no,
off.
Please
of you.
Do. Okay. Please do.
Mike Gundy is the Nick Saban of Oklahoma State.
Oh no!
There.
Probably. It is.
Chris Peterson is the Nick Saban of Boise State. Gary Patterson is the Nick Saban of TCU. We're not putting him in the same conversation.
No. And so here, with all joking aside, Dabo Sweeney's won championships at Clemson, which is a lot more than what other coaches at other institutions have been given
more title games than even won.
And have been, we can joke about Clemson or Dabo and make fun of him for not adjusting and not taking care of business and this, that, and the third. We can go all that, and all of it's true. Mm-hmm. However, what also is factual is that he's won titles, mm-hmm. which is a lot more, or is something that a lot of other coaches cannot say. Mm-hmm. And they've been given longer runways than Dabo has at Clemson. Now, programs have different standards and different expectation levels, and rightfully so. But I think Clemson would be stupid to fire Dabo Sweeney at this point of his career.
I tend to agree.
So we had a great point that was brought up during the break from a listener that said, look, if Kalen DeBoer is not at Alabama after this season, do you think Alabama would think twice about scooping up Dabo Sweeney if he was on the market?
Probably go get him. Yeah. You at least call.
Yeah.
You at least gauge your own interest.
Yeah.
To pick up where we left off to at the end of last segment, let's say, Nick, that you are a head football coach looking for a job in college football. Would you rather, in the current playoff structure, the current world of college athletics today, would you rather be the head coach at Oklahoma State fighting to get to the Big 12 championship game and that automatic berth? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather be the head coach at UCLA fighting to get into the top four of the Big 10?
Big 12 is, if I'm a coach looking for success, it's Big 12. I think the Big 10's hard. Like, I don't know if we have really grasped how balanced and how deep the Big Ten and SEC are. To earn those automatic bids, like in terms of the top four, I think it's tough. I think it's really tough.
But there's also...
You need one of those schools to slip.
But there's also four. As opposed to, you have no margin for error. If you're not playing for the championship in the Big 12, you're not getting into the college football playoff. The only two teams with a chance to get into the playoff in the Big 12 are the two teams that play in the championship game, as currently constructed. Mm. In the Big 10, at least you have two spots of wiggle room. Again, it's probably a harder climb, given, you know, like you said, the depth of the conferences. You throw the SEC in there as well. But, you know, that's when you look at, would you rather take a mid-level ACC job or a mid-level SEC job? You're probably closer to the playoff right away in the SEC, just by nature of you can get into the top four. But it's probably easier to build a more consistent, sustainable product, I would guess, in the Big 12 in the ACC, because once, like you said, the Texas Tech example is going to be so fascinating. If you find the formula, not the other schools are going to be able to pony up those resources to compete with you as easily as in the Big Ten and the SEC. Mm-hmm. So then it's more, okay, so who's going to play, you know, Texas Tech, for example, in the Big 12 championship?
You make a great point, because I think from a resources, here I am saying that stupid R word, resources standpoint, yeah, like I think Big Ten jobs, and you talk about revenue, not revenue sharing, media rights money and stuff like that. Just the brand is probably going to be able to generate more money.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder though. So like, okay, let's take the current landscape of both conferences. The Big Ten has 7 teams that are in the top 25.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be better than 3 of the ranked teams. So using Big Ten's, let's use Big Ten reference here.
Mm-hmm.
That would be just going off of AP rankings. This is not how I necessarily feel this rankings are going to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, I guess
Indiana.
So can you be better than Indiana at UCLA? I mean, granted, Indiana's done it, so you might be able to. This isn't a great point from me, I guess.
But no, it's the point. It's tough because we, Bach and I, had this conversation through the lens of Nebraska football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it better for Nebraska football to try to be 1 of 4 in the Big Ten or 1 of 2 in the Big 12? Because
you don't want my honest opinion on that one.
That's why we're here.
I think if you picked up and put Nebraska in a different conference, I think they're much better.
And to just reiterate this, Nebraska should not go back to the Big 12
Certainly
right now.
Not.
But Nebraska might have been short-sighted, but it's hard to pass up that money. Because would you rather be 9-3 with $25 million or 9-3 with $75 million? You know, you're going to be closer to the playoff at 9-3 in the Big 10 than at 9-3 in the Big 12. But you probably feel better about your chances to get to 10-2 or 11-1 in the Big 12. And then it's, okay, who's going to play Nebraska in the title game for a chance to go to the playoffs?
This is a horrible take, but I'm going to say it anyway. you just be better.
Straight up.
It's horrible. Like, that's horrible analysis. Not a horrible take. It's horrible analysis on how, like, in response to it all. But you know how you succeed? Just be better.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out a way to get it done. Teams, there are case studies every 5 years mm-hmm. of teams that have gotten themselves out of the doldrums of whatever conference they were in, mm-hmm. right? And in comparison to the conference that they are in, to their respective conference, whether that's Colorado working out of the doldrums of the Big 12, or the Pac-12 previously, right? Or whatever it is, Indiana out of the Big 10 is the easy one. In 3 years, we're going to be able to do a case study and go, okay, how did Indiana do it? Mm-hmm. And was it stable? Right, because I think
we started on Kurt Cignetti being the Nick Saban of Indiana football.
Oh, don't you do it, Tom Allen said. Tom Allen would like a word.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Now, here's the thing, though. Like, we have to have the conversation at some point about Kurt Cignetti and what he's done and how he coaches at Indiana. If he takes him to 2 playoff appearances in his first 2 seasons,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then it's like, is Kurt Cignetti a big time job opportunity? Is there a big time job? Does Kurt Cignetti fit Florida?
He's been in the SEC. He was at Bama.
Gross.
But does he fit Florida? It doesn't feel like it.
It does not. The flashy of Florida does not fit Kurt Cignetti.
But did he fit Indiana at the time? Clearly, in retrospect,
I wouldn't be. I wouldn't
James
be surprised.
Madison was kind of Florida of the FCS there for a while.
I suppose.
In some ways.
But hey, he just wins, man. And it bothers the crap out of me.
Well, and that's where Nebraska went with the Brett Bielema hire in Matt Rhule. You know, that's kind of, Illinois didn't get good overnight. They built to it. That's kind of the track Nebraska is taking. And that, Nick, is what I think frustrates a lot of Nebraska fans,
mm-hmm.
is that it seems like it was overnight. Because it was overnight. For Kurt Cignetti.
It was.
And there's something magnetic about him. There's something that he does right, that he can catch that lightning in a bottle and make a spark.
And what pisses you off as a fan from the outside is that he's able to say all these outlandish things. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. He's able to say whatever the hell he wants, and he backs it up game after game, week after week. Mm-hmm. And like, he comes out this weekend after just throwing just demolishing a top 10 team in Illinois, mm-hmm. who's a good football team.
Yeah.
Dominates them 63-10, comes out and says, yeah, you know what? It's going to be a harder test next week against Iowa than what was the last one we had. And nobody can discredit him. Nobody can push back. Nobody can say, well, isn't that kind of snobby to say? Why? Because guess what? If he goes out there and he puts the whooping on Iowa, he's going to be able to.
You know why? Because what was our Cash Blitz keyword?
Win.
Yeah. 508-777-1000. Win. That's what he does. But here's the thing. The interesting conversation with Indiana, they have two real games left that will probably be stumbling blocks for them. Mm-hmm. October 11th, they go to Oregon. November 8th, they go to Penn State. Oof. I mean, if Indiana's 10-2, but they didn't pass the two toughest tests on their schedule, I'd be curious to see how the College Football Playoff Committee ranks them, because 10-2 in the Big Ten,
yeah.
You lost to two teams that are, you know, as of right now,
they're the quality losses.
Yeah, they're quality losses, but what's your quality win? You know, well, will the committee say, we let you in last year because of the story, but you know what? You declined by a game. You didn't beat anyone like you did Michigan last year, which at the time was still a big kind of program changing win. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, Indiana, you got your turn last time.
The quality win is Illinois.
Right.
Any time, it's the same conversation that we had last year with Indiana. Consistently, you're putting the whooping on teams 42-13, 41-20, 56-7 against Nebraska, 47-10 on the road, 66-0 against Purdue. You are putting belt to you know what.
Belt to booty.
Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, nothing bothers me more because I can still see, and I mean this in a respectful way, smug Kurt Cignetti sitting at that table at St. Elmo's of Big Ten Media Days at his first time after he just says, Google me, I win. And everybody's like, who in the heck is this guy? And there he is. He just wins. And that is what I think really gets under the skin of every other program in the Big Ten, mm-hmm. is because Nebraska craves that. Like Matt Rhule is very, very pointed and very good behind a microphone, mm-hmm. and Nebraska needs somebody like that. But you know how much it would be great to be able to take it to another level, whether this is Matt Rhule, whether it's Nebraska's version of Kurt Cignetti, and just be like, I can say whatever I want back here. And nobody nationally can come after us because we just put a whooping on another top 10 team 63-10.
Yeah. And you can't imagine Nebraska beating Michigan 63-10.
Exactly.
You just can't right now.
My word.
Not to say it'll never happen, but no, two programs in two completely different places.
Is it wrong to say there's jealousy?
Oh, absolutely there is.
From not Nebraska's fan base necessarily, but from the country. Because like what Florida feels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about a guy that comes out, talks crap about the SEC scheduling model, copies the SEC scheduling model for the time being, mm-hmm. until it changes in 26. And now he's on the cusp of, they control their destiny to potentially make a playoff. Mm-hmm. It's not like they don't play anybody. Their schedule is tougher than Nebraska's.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are different buckets of jealousy. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about those buckets of Kurt Cignetti jealousy. We'll do that and give away
Gross.
$50 to Grotta Bar and Lounge right after this on Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in, Old School. Austin Norman, Nick Sander hanging out with you for another couple hours here on The Ticket. Everybody's favorite question, what's for dinner? The easy answer is Grotta Bar and Lounge, located in the Clock Tower Shopping Center at 70th and A. Grotta Bar and Lounge features a menu full of delicious options, ranging from unique menu items like the peanut butter burger or the wizard pastrami sandwich, to your more traditional items like the mushroom burger or the French dip. They also have daily specials and incredible drink options. Visit Grotta Bar and Lounge today at 70th and A. Gave you the number earlier in the show. See who was listening. Texter number 3 with the correct answer. How many consecutive bowl games did Oklahoma State qualify for under Mike Gundy? We'll get that $50 to Grotta Bar and Lounge. The gift cards work for brunch as well. Grotta is about, about a mile and change away from mm-hmm. my church, Messiah.
That's right.
And about once a month, we are there having brunch after service. It is incredible.
So
love the people and the food down there at Grotto. All right, Nick, the buckets of jealousy for different teams, different programs, different fan bases when it comes to Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah.
There's the Nebraska-Florida bucket of jealousy. Why can't we have that for us? Who's this little nobody coming in and usurping our spot? There's the, I would even say the, you know, the Purdue, the Vanderbilt, the Northwestern, the, yeah, probably those schools, schools like that. Why couldn't that be us? You know, why can't we catch our lightning in a bottle higher and go on that run ever? And then the third group is like your Louisville's. I think teams in that realm, probably not TCU, but like a Louisville, Utah, I think qualifies this conversation of, man, we have been so much closer for so much longer or had actual pockets of success, unlike Indiana, but those guys make that higher. That basketball school makes that higher and we don't. Why them?
Is there more to it than just getting the hire right?
Always.
Because I wonder if sometimes schools like Northwestern and Indiana in this case, they can make the right hire and just a couple of things don't go their way. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're just so fragile from a program standpoint that they it's just hard to get going.
Alignment is a buzzword that gets thrown around a lot when you talk about like upper management, but clearly it matters.
Cause in all honesty, like I think David Braun's a really good coach. I think David Braun fits at a spot like a Louisville, somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. Right. Potentially like even like an Oklahoma State, not necessarily his like what he's good at defensively and stuff, but in terms of like that type of tier, I'm saying, I think Northwestern is a very tough spot just to coach in general.
For anyone. Absolutely. Right?
I think Northwestern is more so than Indiana. Like I wonder how much more it is.
So Illinois jealous because they didn't have that run.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. Like this, we're talking about Nebraska litmus test. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is now? Maybe the fans aren't as passionate in Champaign, but what do you think Illinois is thinking? Illinois Sports Talk Radio. This week, man, the Fighting Illini, they had their litmus test against Indiana over the weekend. And what happened? 63-10 walloping. They lost. Mm-hmm. Think about how deflated it feels because Nebraska fans, we're sitting here saying, man, you feel like Nebraska's on the cusp of being a middle of the road to top tier Big Ten team. Mm-hmm. And then you lose by three. Okay. Yeah. You can go a couple of plays better. However, on the flip side, it's almost like which one would you rather be, the lesser of two? Mm-hmm. Is like Illinois thinks, oh, yeah, we're able to compete for a playoff. We're able to compete potentially for a Big Ten championship appearance. We're one of the big four or five schools in the Big Ten.
Founding charter member.
Yeah,
or
here we go.
You.
Here we go. Now it's our chance to prove it.
Yeah.
And from out of the gates, you don't have a shot.
No.
I think the feeling in Champaign is probably worse than the feelings in Lincoln right now.
That is a perfect, and I mean perfect, launching point into our topic at 4 p.m. What other schools across the country are in Nebraska's boat? What issues that we've seen at Nebraska over the last 20 years are going on other places too? We're in our Husker bubble, but guess what, Nebraska fans? The issues that you've seen and heard about are not just isolated to Nebraska. We'll talk about that leading off the 4 o'clock hour.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.